Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome to the KE Reports Weekend Show. Corey and Shad here, your host for this weekend edition. Man, oh man, what a crazy week it was. It was Tariff Week, or Liberation Day as it was called in the U.S., and it caused absolute havoc in the markets. We talk a lot about what these tariffs meant and other geopolitical news throughout the week on our daily editorials. So on this weekend show, I really want to focus on the charts for all the traders out there. And quite frankly, I think charts are very important simply for investors as well, whether you want to play the long side or the short side of markets. We need to pay attention to what the charts are telling us, even though there is a lot of volatility on the back of tariffs and geopolitics. It seems like nothing else really matters for these markets right now, especially when we come into a week like we just went through, where everyone was waiting to hear what Trump had to say about reciprocal tariffs, and he delivered some pretty big ones around the world. We're going to kick off the show with Dana Lyons. Dana is a fund manager and the editor of the Lion Share Pro website. Dana, I want to ask you kind of a game plan strategy here. You have been on the show for years now, outlining what your internal models tell you and really focusing on the charts and explaining why you try to ignore this other news that impacts markets, but you find that sticking to the charts keeps a more level head and also keeps you on the right side of trades. What is your game plan, being a technical trader, considering markets are moving so much off of tariff news and geopolitics?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think more so than even the charts, you know, the market, the underlying market data that we use in our models and our quantitative models really is critical in orienting our investment posture, whether we're not just buy and hold, you know, take what the market gives you. You know, we're going to strive to be aggressive at the right time and defensive at the right time. And the way that we do that is through some quant models that we've developed, which really, and we've talked about this in the past, they basically measure which way the broad market, the majority of stocks are moving. Are they headed upward or are they headed down? And if the majority of stocks are going up, then we can be more aggressive and aligned with that. If the majority of stocks are going down, then certainly we want to be more defensive. And since our model, risk model, turned negative in early to mid-December, our model's has stayed bearish since then and has really been a crucial guide, as it always has been, in helping us stay rather defensive over that time. So that's really our guide. And as far as charts are concerned, when we're deciding where we do want to be invested, as far as investment selection, we go to relative strength and see which areas are outperforming. And even in the context of a correction or a negative market, there might be junctures within those key relative strength names that we want to take a stab at, and we'll go to the charts for that. And also, which is certainly relevant now, there might be certain levels on the charts where, okay, our risk model is bearish, the overall environment is negative, but there are certain levels where, especially when sentiment gets so extremely fearful, that we want to take a stab at maybe adding some exposure around the vicinity of a potential turn. So we will take stabs at that. But again, the key for us is staying on the side of the market. You know, many studies have determined about 70 to 80% of the direction of a particular stock or sector is based on the direction of the overall market. So we do our best to try to not fight that trend, that overall broad market trend, and really stay aligned with the market.
Well, Dan, I think you do a great job. We've been following you for years, and I think your models and that kind of approach keeps you on the right side of the trade more often than not. I would assume with the volatility we're seeing this week, we're recording this on Thursday, the day after Liberation Day, and the markets are down big. You know, we're seeing 3 to 4% moves down in the major indexes. A lot of stocks are down even double digits individually. The VIX is spiked up to 27. It's up 27% today. And so there's a lot of volatility in the market. I would imagine your medium-term quant models haven't factored that in since they're based more on weekly and monthly action. But when you look at the technicals for what you see, are you looking at this as kind of a exhaustion point in the selling, or how close do you think we are to possibly one of those turns you were mentioning?
The one thing, especially after just coming off of all-time highs not too long ago, I would say the one thing that we've pointed to in recent weeks, especially in terms of something that might be at the backs of maybe a tailwind for the bulls, at least, would be sentiment, which has gotten obviously extremely negative and fearful. Even before Liberation Day, sentiment was to the point in many surveys and many real money indicators that was sufficient in terms of potentially providing the not catalyst, but environment for a bottoming process, at least in the short term or intermediate term. So those conditions were already in place before the tariff news hit. So those conditions don't guarantee a turn. Obviously, the sentiment, even as bad as it was, can always get worse. And we saw that, obviously, after the tariff news, sentiment and fear levels really have accelerated and gotten even more egregious. So when those conditions are to the point where they are conducive to forming a low, meaning enough people have sold or enough people are hedging that even in a sell-off, there aren't enough investors to come in and sell that'll push the prices down that much, or they're hedged enough where it doesn't do that much damage and we can turn around and rally. That was arguably or potentially the case over the last couple weeks as we formed an initial low in March and then retested that low at the beginning of this week and recovered that low. And one level we're looking at specifically in the S&P 500 was around that 25 or 55.20 level that did get recovered. So we were looking at that area as a potential bottoming level. So even though our risk models are still pointed south, you could take a stab there. But again, as we've seen with sentiment, and you noted, sentiment can always get worse in the near term. So even if those conditions are in place, from a sentiment perspective, to provide that environment for a bottom. If price doesn't agree, price can get a lot worse before that next bottoming potential can occur. So from our perspective, we took a stab at that 55.20-ish level, getting long there. But once that broke, you have to be disciplined enough to be hedged or out at that point. So once that broke, we got substantially hedged again. But I will say, again, the one thing that the bulls have in their corner right now is sentiment that is so dour that it could provide the conditions for potentially a potential low nearby. But again, price is truth, and you have to stay disciplined to that.
So while low sentiment or extremes in sentiment, whether high sentiment or low sentiment, can indicate that either a high or a low is in for the market, if we also combine that with oversold conditions, close to where we're at for something like the S&P right now on a daily or weekly basis, Dana, can't low sentiment and oversold conditions, well, we may be due for a bounce, is there a potential here that it could also signify that we are entering some sort of a bear market or a longer term protracted market?
Yes, it could. And as you know, that's our expectation for the long term, is that it's going to be a very, very difficult investment environment overall over the next probably 10 years or so, based on the what we call background indicators or the general market valuations and investment levels, which are basically, or at least in recent months, have gotten to all-time extreme high levels. So from a standpoint of overvaluation, overinvestment, and just excessively overbought levels, we've arguably never been this egregiously risk-laden in the history of our market. So, but that's a long-term thing. In the shorter term, timing of when that kicks off is always a little bit uncertain. So it is possible that this is the big turn, in which case oversold prices can get much, much more oversold, and bad sentiment can get much worse. So maybe that is at hand, which is why, like I mentioned, you have to stay disciplined to not trying to continue to pick a bottom when the data doesn't back you up. So we don't have the evidence right now, for example, in our risk models to back up a strategy of continuing to try to pick a low and get more aggressive here. We can pick spots here and there, which from a technical perspective, we might get a shot at it. But if we don't have the backing of our quant models, then we want to, for the most part, stay defensive, because like you said, it's possible that, okay, if we are turning or shifting from a secular bull market to a secular bear market, this might be just the start of it. So I would say, even in a secular bear market, except for those, you know, the meat of those bear markets where it's just a waterfall selling, it's not straight down. So you do get decent intermediate term lows where you can play the bounce, but right now you got to be very disciplined about what spots, what levels that you're going to take a stab. And like I said, for us, for example, on the S&P, when that 5520 was broken, that's a sign to get extremely defensive and focus on capital preservation.
Well, Dana, what you're saying makes sense from the quant model standpoint. You want to see those turn before you get more aggressive. But in a, if it is a secular bear market, there are counter trend rallies. For people listening to the show that are shorter duration traders or maybe intermediate term traders, when you're looking at just the technicals, if we put the quant models aside and you just put your technical hat on and you look at the charts, when you're looking at bottoming processes, are you looking at things getting reclaiming moving averages before you get back in? Are you looking at Fibonacci levels as far as a retracement? What kind of technical tools do you use when you're looking at a chart to figure out if possibly something has bottomed and is ready to ratchet back higher again?
Yeah, sure. So good question. And obviously there's a lot to unpack in that. There are two different really methodologies for trading technicals. One's really a trend following, and then you also have the mean reversion. So trend following, you're assuming you're still in a bull market and you want to pick support levels where you think you can, you think that the markets should bounce if you're still in that environment. On the other hand, if you're in a different environment, then those quote-unquote support levels become less reliable. They cease to become support, and then you're shifting to a strategy of selling the rallies instead of buying the dips. So you have to kind of decipher which environment you're in. So obviously, we've been in a kind of a buy-the-dip mode for a long time. But if we're shifting, then, you know, you have to shift course. And I know you said you got to put your quant models aside, but we have a hard time doing that because that helps us orient our strategy in terms of, are we in a buy the dip strategy or are we in a sell the rip mode? So that kind of guides that philosophy. But just from a broad perspective, if we're buying, we want to continue to see higher highs and higher lows. From an entry point standpoint, maybe we do adopt more of a mean reversion type of strategy for picking entry points, but we still want to see those higher highs and higher lows, which is threatening to get to be undermined here this week, given the recent news. And I would say, just from one more standpoint, in terms of picking the bottom, what we see at a typical intermediate term low, you see an initial low like we saw in March. And then you see a dead cat bounce like we saw, and then a pullback and a retest of those initial lows that very often get undercut like we saw at the beginning of the week. What we want to see in those undercut moves is kind of a divergence in momentum. So you want to see momentum readings that are less oversold. And then from the data standpoint, you want to see data that's really less egregious. So for example, you want to see a fewer number of new lows in the market than you saw at that initial low. And that was for the most part the case at the beginning of the week. And you want to see, for example, volatility market, you want to see volatility spikes that are lower than what we saw at that initial low. And those were really in place. Those conditions were really in place at the beginning of the week for a intermediate term low. After, quote unquote, Liberation Day, the weakness we're seeing then, now we're seeing an expansion of new lows, which is not a good sign if we're looking to find a bottom. And we're also seeing volatility that is, again, testing the highs that we saw back in early March. So that is also not a great sign as far as trying to find those divergences that are evident at market bottom. So absent that, those conditions would suggest, okay, maybe we are beginning potential another leg down. So that would be certainly some red flags if I'm trying to pick a bottom here.
So Dana, let's move into individual sectors then. As much as we've talked how you look and use technicals and different indicators, are there any sectors out there right now that are standing out to you because A, they're either not going down or you see them actually continuing to move higher, that they have an uptrend in place?
Yeah, there are. Some of it is because longer term, they're in a decent technical position. They haven't suffered any breakdowns really from that standpoint. Some of the energy stuff looks fine. Financials, I think, look fine. And then some of the defensive names. It's interesting that they always say that, okay, there's always, you know, somewhere to hide. And to some extent, that has been the case this week. You look at consumer staples, which are up nicely in a severe down tape, and a couple other kind of sectors or subsectors that have held in there well. And in fact, we're hitting new all-time highs at the end of the week. Insurance stocks are at new, just off of all-time highs. And the utility fund that we're in, FXU, is trading at all-time highs as we speak. So there are areas that I wouldn't say, if we continue this nasty route, that I would be confident that they would continue to hold up. But there are areas you can continue to hold. And if we get pullbacks in those areas that are still what we would consider relative strength, we'll look for good entry points to add to them along the way. But again, as I mentioned, 70 to 80% of the direction of a stock or sector is due to the overall market. So I would say don't rely on that relative strength necessarily saving you from the rest of your portfolio, which might be getting severe damage laid into it. But there are some areas that I would say have not broken down and are holding up quite well.
Yeah, Dana, nice to see the defensive areas of the market acting defensive. They're doing their job. Another area that's in the defensive sector is the precious metals, gold. Gold has continued to break out to higher highs the last couple of weeks. And even this week, we've seen some new levels. So it's another defensive area where people are going to hide. What do you make of the technical setup in gold? Is it getting too stretched here or does it have more room to run?
Like we've talked about gold, you know, we've been very bullish on gold for a long time. We don't see any reason to not continue to be bullish. It has run a lot, so we have a hard time really, you know, allocating a lot of new exposure there. But at the same time, we're not in any hurry to sell it. So basically, we're just sitting with that and riding the uptrend. On the other hand, we've also talked about copper and silver and why we considered them, you know, much lower in terms of their investment attractiveness as far as we're concerned from the precious metal standpoint, just because they haven't really performed technically like gold has. And you're seeing that in this environment, a reason why they're less reliable maybe as a safe haven. But you know, the charts were telling you that to begin with, that, you know, gold has held up extremely well, continues at higher highs, and the other two haven't really. They've bounced of late, but less reliable from that standpoint. So I would say, you know, stick with the trend as far as gold is concerned. I'm with it being this extended, we wouldn't be too eager to allocate a lot new money to it, but we'd buy on decent pullbacks, but for the most part, just holding on and enjoying the ride right now.
Fair enough. That ride has continued to move it higher. It has been really the standout market in this whole turmoil that we keep seeing around the world, because even international markets that are getting hit now as well. Dana, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for providing some of those insights on what you look for in the charts and the indicators that you also find interesting that we should be focusing on here. It's a tough market right now, and extremely tough if you're trying to play the day-to-day swings, but keeping a level head, I think, does help. Man, oh man, it's who knows where this is going, though. Dana, again, thank you for your time. Everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back, continuing this more technical focus on the show, but switching more so over simply to the metals sector.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.